Before I get started, I do want to pray with you guys, mainly because if I don't pray, this will be a waste of time. I can get up here and muster all the energy I want and have the best illustration. It's not going to make a difference. But if we're going to really get something out of this, God's going to have to do a work in our hearts. He's going to have to help me teach, and He's going to have to help you understand. And so I actually want to pray and ask Him to help, because if He doesn't help, this is a waste of our time. So I'm asking you to pray with me. You don't have to just listen to me and be like, oh, that was nice. Like, actually, in your seat, you pray with God and ask Him to help you get it. So would you pray with me real quick? Let's pray. Right now in your seat, why don't you guys, just to yourself, why don't you just ask God to speak clearly to you? Just between you and God right now, ask Him to tell you whatever it is He wants you to hear. And also ask Him to help me teach. God, as we come to you right now, God, we really do need you. We're not just saying that. Like, we really need you. We really want you to come here and work in our hearts and speak to us. We really want to love you and understand you better. And so we just need your help to do that. So God, I'm just asking that you would help me to teach. I'm asking for each one of these young men and women that you would help them to really listen, that they'd really get it, and that they would really enjoy it. Just pray that all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now I think I'm supposed to do some stupid stuff up here, but all I...
Stupid.
No, I wasn't talking about that one yet. Oh, no, that... Okay. No. I just lost my train of thought. I'm supposed to tell stupid jokes whenever I get started or something like that, so people tell me. I don't have any funny jokes. I don't have any really dumb stories today. I just kind of have... Just jumping right. You don't believe me? I can tell you a dumb story if you want. I told a dumb one to junior high, and it was fantastic. But y'all are too mature for that.
What?
It's too.
No, no.
You're not?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay, this is one of my favorite stories. I'm going to tell you this anyways. I wasn't supposed to start off like this, but I'm doing it. Okay, here's what I'm trying to tell junior high. Because when I was in junior high, I was a really awkward kid. I don't know if that surprises you or not. Okay, yeah, it doesn't surprise you. I was a really awkward kid. I always felt uncomfortable around girls. I didn't feel uncomfortable around guys, but I felt uncomfortable around girls, but girls were always around, so that made me even more uncomfortable, which made me do stupid things. There was this one time, this is actually another story, but when I got nervous, sometimes I would do dumb things, and I remember this one time, we were sitting at this picnic, and there was this massive circle of people, and what happened was this guy, I was with these two guys, and chicks love these two guys. They always, like, wherever these guys went, girls were always like, yay, and they just kind of followed these two guys around, and I was like, what's up, you know, doing the whole, like, yeah. And so, for some reason, these two guys came and sat down next to me, and then all this massive army of women came and sat down next to us, which makes me sweat and other things. And so, we're sitting there, and I'm on the ground, I'm eating my lunch, and it's just, there came to this point where I was like, I don't want to be around these people right now, because, like, everything they say, they all laugh, and it's like this constant, like, like that right there, and you're just like, oh, I can't take it. And then these dudes are like, yeah, so I was playing football yesterday, and my bicep totally tore. Like, it was, like, and these guys are like, his bicep tore, like, can I feel your bicep? Like, it was like, Anyways, so I made a classic blunder. I didn't tell this story to junior high. I'm telling it to y'all. I was like, I'm out of here. We're done with this. Don't like this scene. Peace. And so I went to go get up and made the mistake. There's several ways you can get up from laying on the ground. You can try the whole off to your side, push up, you know, throw the biceps, or like the whole ninja move where you jump up. I don't do those. For some strange reason this time, there wasn't like a slowly get up. I was like, you know what I'm doing? I'm doing knees to the chest roll, stand up. I know that sounds weird, but, like, I don't know. I was in junior high. Leave me alone. I know I'm stupid, but this is awesome. So picture circle, lots of girls, two other guys, laying down, knees to the chest, roll up. Oh, see you later. And literally, dude, out, gone. Like, it was at camp. It was the last day of camp. So all these girls are giving numbers to these dudes, and these guys are like, they get back on the bus like, hey, bro, what was that? I was like, I had a fart, dude. I don't know what to tell you. So moral of the story, when you're nervous and with a circle of lots of girls and two massive jock dudes, do not bring your knees to your chest because you will fart. And, oh, snap. I'm supposed to do that one. I don't know if y'all remember. Oh, snap. Anyways, was that gayer than I wanted that to be? I'm not. Crap. Sorry, that was too much again. So anyways, I can feel like that here, hence the bathroom comment earlier. Today, here's what we're doing. Today, we're continuing this series that we've been talking about, and I have the privilege of talking to you about what can actually feel like a really boring thing. Y'all talk about boring things all day in school. I could add another one of those tonight if you really pay close attention, but I don't think it's actually as boring as we always think it is. Tonight, I'm not going to make you do a drum roll. You can't do a drum roll. Drum roll, please. Tonight, for more drum rolls. I wasn't going to get to it. Tonight, I'm actually going to be talking to you guys about prayer. Yeah. Look at that. Oh, snap. They gave the whole. Like, here's the thing. Some of y'all went, oh, snap. Some of you went, yay. But most of you went like this. Oh, yeah. Like, seriously, dude? Like, I got school all day, and now you're going to sit here and you're talking about prayer. And I got to be honest, I actually really understand why you would feel that. When I grew up, the way I learned about prayer was kind of at home. My dad would make us all sit around the bed. I don't know if y'all ever do this. Like, every night we'd read a chapter of the Bible, and then we'd all get on our knees around the bed like this as little kids, and we'd have to repeat everything after my dad. Which was kind of tough because they had a really thick accent, but the rest of it made sense. So we would literally repeat everything. He'd say, Heavenly Father. We would say, Heavenly Father. He would say something else. Literally right down the line, we would. And just about every single night, we prayed the same exact thing. And it wasn't really fun. It was just kind of like, man, prayer is monotonous. It's just kind of boring. It's like, repeat after dad. That's all we do. And then we'd also pray all the time around meals. I don't know if y'all do this or not. But every single meal at home together, we would always pray together. And it was always the same exact prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this food. Please bless it to our bodies. Help us have a good day. In Jesus' name, amen. Literally, every single time. I mean, I said that all throughout elementary at every meal. I said that through junior high. I said it through senior high. I left home and went to college. And you know what I still prayed around meals? The same exact prayer. I could still do it today. I could shift right into that mode and be like, Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this food. Bless it to our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. Like, do y'all have anything like that at all for y'all? Is that, and that's kind of all I ever saw of prayer. And then I would go to church. They always had doozies at church. At church, we had the old guys in the suits that, I don't know, we don't do this here, but they would just pick guys from the church to actually come up and pray for like certain things in church, which can be really awesome. So they'd go and say, hey, do you want to pray? And he'd show up that week with a suit and his best prayer ready to rumble. And they would get up there and it was like, I don't know if y'all have seen this. I don't know if you see this here or not, but their voices change. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like sometimes it gets deeper. Like it's like this. I don't even know if I can do it. Like this, like, dear God. Like it gets really like, and it gets, the words get bigger. They're like using words like almighty and majestic and hallowed. I don't know if they spread it out into syllables like that, syllables. Anyways, they spread it out. It's getting bigger. They're throwing in thee, thou, shall. And it's kind of like, man, that was really awesome sounding, but it was really boring. Or even there was one guy, I'll never forget this guy. I don't know why they asked him to pray so much. But he would get up, and literally he would have a jacket on. He'd walk up, and he'd put his glasses, this is the craziest thing ever. It's in front of people all over the church. Glasses on, out of the pocket. Heavenly Father. And he would literally read it off of the page the entire way down. I don't know if it's because he was nervous or what. But that's all I experienced in prayer growing up. That was what I saw. I saw people praying like that. And I got to be honest with you. It was pretty boring. And so I thought that when I prayed, that was what I was supposed to be doing. So I remember trying this in my room one time. Like, it was the weirdest thing ever. Like, I was like, okay, I'm supposed to pray. Like, you know that, right? You're supposed to pray. Would y'all agree with that? And for some reason, some guy had challenged me. If you would just pray for 5 minutes a day, it was some kind of crazy, I don't know what it is. Like, so I was like, dude, I'm praying for 5 minutes. You know, starting the whole boop, like on the knees. I think I was in college. I had all sorts of guys tell me crazy stuff in college, like not to eat meat and Anyways, I don't want to get into that. But so I remember getting it and doing the whole thing, like getting on my knees. I'm by my bed, like hands crossed, head bowed, eyes closed. And I'm doing the whole, Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Four more minutes. Like it was just, and I'm trying to go through all the people I know, praying, help this person, help this person, help this person, help this person, help this person. I would just be like, oh, and like I wouldn't even get close to 5 minutes, and it didn't feel like it was worth it at all. It felt like it was a complete waste of time. And I would get up and be like, dude, it feels like I just talked to myself in my room for 4.5 minutes. Like, is that what prayer is supposed to be about? And it felt like every time someone talked to me about prayer, they told me, you should be praying. You should pray every day for this long, at least every day. If you're going to be a good Christian, you need to be praying. And I would try it, and it just didn't work. And so when people talk about praying, I was like, dude, this is boring. This is useless. And I feel guilty because I don't do it. Is that the way I was supposed to introduce this? Y'all were like, yes, let's go pray now. Like, that is not the point I was trying to make. Because here's the problem. That when you get in the Bible, it paints a different picture than that of prayer for you. And we're going to talk about that today, and you're probably wondering, well, how does that connect with war? I'm going to get there, but here's what we're going to do. I want to do a run-up on what you've been looking at the last couple weeks, because you've been in Ephesians chapter 6, right? And what have y'all been talking about in Ephesians chapter 6? I'm glad you didn't... Man, that was really, like... That was really bad, dude. I'm not going to lie to you. You were just like, spiritual warfare. We've been talking about... I've been with junior high the whole time, so forgive me if I'm a goofball, but that was horrible. Y'all literally were just like... You've been talking about spiritual warfare. It's awesome. Like, that was really a week. You've been talking like, okay, just do me a favor. If you're going to say war, I need you to say it like it's like actually war. Like, not like war, but like war. Like, it's like, it needs to have like a little bit of a, like a grunt to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, because it's not war. It's not war. Like, so you've been talking about war. That's how I probably can't do it every single time, but war. So it's not like it's not a boring thing. You've been talking about war! I had to pause to give you guys the... Anyways, so you've been talking about war, and so look at what he says in Ephesians chapter 6 here, because he's been building it up for you. And look at what he says in chapter 6, verse 10. And I want you guys to follow along with me, and hopefully this doesn't bore you. Bore? War? Sorry, that... Sorry, I had a... It just hit me. I was like, oh, that's genius. Sorry. Verse 10 says this, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. And put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. That was cracking me up because when I grew up, it said wiles of the devil, which is hilarious. Anyways, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand firm. Let me just hit pause right there. Can anyone summarize what I just read to you? What was that? Get ready so you'll be okay. Get ready by doing what? Be strong in the Lord. And what practical steps does it give you to be strong in the Lord? Did you say armor? Yes, you guys are very enthusiastic tonight, by the way.
Armor of God.
Boom, armor for war! Like, armor! Like, He's got armor for you. He wants you to put on armor. Why do you need armor? For war, yes. For war, because you're in war. He's saying, you know, you have an enemy. He wants to destroy you. He wants to kill you. You're in war. You better prepare because you're going to get your butt kicked if you don't. You need armor on. So he goes and lists this armor. Look at verse 14. Stand therefore, in other words, stand firm, stand fast, don't be moved. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. That's a weird little thing for war, but you need a belt. So, well, you've already talked about that. I don't need to get into that. The belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. And in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So he gives us a list of all these things, and look at what he adds next to this. He has helmets, belts, I don't know, shoes, shields, like breastplates, swords, all these things. And then he tosses this little thing in the mix right here. Verse 18. Praying at all times. Now, can I ask you a question? I got to pause right there. The way I described praying, does that sound like that fits in with armor?
Yeah.
or with war?
No.
Good answer. That was good. Someone's paying attention. That was really good. He said no. For those of you missed it, the answer is no. It's a big no. No. It does not sound like the way I described it. It doesn't look... That's like what Paul's talking about. As a matter of fact, I want you to see how many times he says all here. It's kind of, I can't think of a word that's weird with all, but it's just crazy. Look at this. Praying, I should read on this because it may mess me up on the screen. Praying at all times. So how often are you supposed to pray?
All the time.
Oh man, I love this enthusiasm here. Supposed to pray all the time. Does that feel weird already? No. That always makes me feel guilty, but anyways. So you're praying all the time in the Spirit. With what?
All prayer.
With all prayer and supplication. Now, supplication is kind of like urgent request. Like, if I have to go to the bathroom, well, yeah, it's like that thing I can hear in class. You know, sometimes you have to raise your hand with a really stupid question. Like, do you have a stupid question? I can't think of one right now.
No.
Nothing?
Always has a stupid question.
Do you like chicken?
Yeah. Hey, do you like chicken? I don't know why I would raise that in class. What's salmonella? I can see that right there. But then that's like a regular question. You know what I'm saying? Like, wait, what is X plus Y equals, can you repeat that? That's a normal question. Now, an urgent supplication is kind of like this. You drank a lot of sweet tea at lunch. I mean, a lot of sweet tea at lunch. It's sitting there in your belly. Not really in your belly, more like in your bladder right now. You've got 45 minutes left in class. You don't have 45 minutes left in your bladder. You know that. You're sitting there. There's that moment where it's like, I got to get out of here now. It's not like I have to go. There's like this shaking and this squeezing, everything like this. That's a supplication. I got to go and it needs to be now. Like, no, not time to wait. I'm peeing. We need to scoot out to the bathroom right now. That's supplication, prayer and supplication. If you got that. So he's saying, he's like, you're praying it all the time in the Spirit. With all prayer and supplication, I don't know if I'm supposed to have a hand signal with this. And to this end, look at this thing. The goal is this, that he wants you to keep alert with what?
Perseverance.
All perseverance. Now, what's perseverance?
Persevering.
Okay, two things on that one. Yes, perseverance is persevering. Two, there's this rule that if your teachers haven't taught you, I'm going to help you.
Don't use the word.
You already knew that. You already knew that. You did it anyways. Talk to her about that. You can do that now if you want. Okay, it is persevering. Can you someone use a different word for perseverance besides persevere? Or persevering or anything that has persevere in it? Keep trying. That's a great example of a good definition without the word in it. It's keep trying. It's enduring. Like, you keep going. Even though it doesn't seem like it's doing anything, even though it feels weird, you keep at it with all perseverance. So I'm praying all the time in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, to keep up with all perseverance. And then this last part, making supplication for who?
All the saints.
All the saints, for everyone. Now, I got to be honest. Does that look like Paul thinks this is boring and useless?
No.
Like, he's like, dude, you gotta be doing this all the time. Like, with urgency, with all this urgency, all the time, for everyone, and you gotta keep doing it over and over and over and over again. That's what Paul just said right there. Like, that doesn't sound like what I think prayer is sometimes. As a matter of fact, look at the next verse. Look at how serious Paul is about that. Verse 19. And also for me. And this is crazy. Like, don't just pray for others. Like, I need some help right now. Look at what I need help with. That words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. So first thing, I don't want to be afraid to share the gospel. Wait, I got to remind you, who's writing this right now? Does anyone know how many books of the Bible this guy wrote? It's lots of them. He's all in Acts. Going from city to city, planting churches left and right, and his prayer request is, would you pray that I would actually share my faith? Does that sound crazy to anyone else? That Paul needs that? It makes me feel a little bit better. Look at the next verse. Not only that, but look at this. For which I'm an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Like, it's constantly, I want to share my faith boldly. I'm in chains. I'm in chains. I'm in prison. That's prison and chains, prains combined. I'm in prains, and I want to be bold about sharing my faith, and I'm not going to do it if someone doesn't help me. I need God to help me do this thing. So here's what I think Paul is saying here. Prayer is the ultimate weapon that you have in your warfare. It's what you've got. Look, and here's why I think that's really important. This is a great illustration I stole from someone else, but I like it. Now, I just want you to picture this. If you're in war, like we drop you into some kind of crazy war somewhere, any war, pick a war.
Star Wars.
Not exactly what I was thinking with a war, but we can go with it. You're in Star Wars. You are not really a Jedi Knight. You're just kind of a Padawan. Or a princess. That could be. Oh, sorry, my bad. I don't know why I heard princess. Forget it. Anyways, you're a Wookiee. You are a Wookiee, yes. And you are in the middle. You're hairy, and it's horrible. And you are in the middle of Star Wars. It's the stars and knights and stuff. So you're in the middle of Star Wars. We drop you in the front line and be like, hey, good luck. Here's a gun. No, wait, sword. Here's a lightsaber. Y'all are killing me. Why'd you pick Star Wars? Like, here's a Wookiee like light thing. Whatever. Take that. Go. Like, here's a helmet. Here's a shield. Here's armor. A belt. That's one of the things in there. And shoes. Peace be with you. Like, go fight. We put you in the front line. And dude, stormtroopers, y'all are killing with this. Bad guys are coming at you right now. They're surrounding you. It's you by yourself with your little light knife thing. And you're like, dude, you're going down. Let me ask you a question. You get surrounded. You're about to die. These guys are going to come down to you. What is it that you want at that moment? You want to run away. True. Air support. That's a good answer right there. How do you get it? You want air support. Here's what you want. If it's you versus an entire army, do you know what you want on your side? You want an entire army on your side. What you want is you want a walkie-talkie that calls back to the home base and kind of is like, I need help and I need it now. Like drop bombs, send people, blow things up, I'm gonna die. That's what you want. You want to get on the walkie-talkie and call for help back home so that they send it. That's what prayer is for you guys. You have a sword, you have a shield, you have helmets, you have all this stuff, but you're in a war. And you don't just need one little sword. What you need is a walkie-talkie to call back to the base and have them send some serious help, because you're going to get your butt kicked if you don't. That's what prayer is. It's not thee, it's not thou. It's not the same repetition that you say every single time. It's you getting on the walkie-talkie and saying, I need help and I need it right now. That feels a little more intense to me, doesn't it? Like, if when you were praying you actually thought of it like that, do you think it would sound the way we normally pray? I mean, can you picture it? Yeah. God, I just... thanks for this day. Ooh, thanks for the walkie. It's nice, by the way. Like that. That's a keeper. Thanks for letting me have that. Yeah, just things are going good. Oh, by the way, there's some guys over here. Could you kind of take care of that? Thanks. Like, is that, would it feel boring? Or would it be that whole almighty, you know what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? Like, there's something that just says, hey, I need some help right now. It's not going to sound dull and boring and repetitious. It's screaming for help. You're weak, you're desperate, you're outnumbered, and you're going to be destroyed if he doesn't help you. And so you're on the line asking for help. Here's my question. Why don't we pray like that? I mean, Paul's in prison, and he's like, dude, somebody better pray, and you better pray quick, because I got to share the gospel, and I'm afraid I won't. Why don't we pray like that? Can I tell you why? I think there's lots of reasons. But I don't think we really think that we're in war. Like, our enemy isn't stupid. He's kind of sneaky like that. You know what he's kind of doing right now? Here's what he's done to all of us. You're in America. He has done this to you. I'm just telling you right now. It's happened. You're in the midst of it. He's convinced you you're not in war. He stepped back. He's hiding in the bushes in camouflage. He's letting you hang out with all your little friends on your iPhones and iPods. You're playing your games. You're going to school. You're concerned who likes you, who doesn't like you. you're concerned about fitting in or not feeling the most popular. You may feel urgency every now and then because you might be embarrassed. You might start to get a little nervous because you're about to get in trouble with your parents. You're like, God, I need help right now. Don't get me. I don't want to find out. I didn't study for this test, whatever it is. But you just kind of coast. And in the meantime, he stepped back in the bushes and he's setting his traps all around you and he's sniping you and your friends off one at a time. Bit by bit by bit, and you don't even know it's happening around you. You're going to go off to college and he's going to tear you to shreds. He is going to rock your world. Do you know why? Because he's convinced you you're not in war. And you're getting away from mom and dad, and all of a sudden, he's going to have his way with you because you're not used to fighting. You haven't learned to fight him. He's going to pick you apart, and you're going to be devastated and dead on the side of the road. That's a reality for you spiritually. That is really happening around you. I don't know where you all go to school. Those of you who go to Edgewood, do you think that Edgewood is helping you love Jesus more? Do you think the enemy wants you to be distracted? Do you think that you need God's help to walk for Jesus at Edgewood? Suppose you go to Merritt Island High. Do you think that you're just going to walk for Jesus at Merritt Island High and it's just going to happen, it's going to be easy? You think there isn't an enemy who wants to destroy you and destroy all of your friends? For those of you who go to Merritt Island Christian, do you really think that the enemy is going to sit back while you talk with all your friends and learn a cheap imitation of Christianity that doesn't involve you doing anything for Jesus Christ? There's an enemy and he wants to dominate you and he wants you to think you're not even in a war, so you won't even use the most powerful tool you have, your walkie-talkie to call for backup, that you won't even use prayer. The reason we don't pray is we're getting ambushed right now. We don't even know we're in the fight. And that can hurt more than getting hit head on and seeing it coming. Let me kind of share with you a silly story to kind of... Me and my brother's kind of a jerk. I don't know how many of you have met him. He likes to inflict pain on other people, especially me sometimes when he's younger, which makes it really tricky. We used to fight a lot. That's kind of what brothers do. Well, I don't know what we were doing one day, but like one of the things I do, he loved like... If we were playing basketball, he was going to try to hit me in the face with the basketball. But you knew it was coming, so you can kind of do the whole like Matrix thing. Where, or it hits you in the nose, and then you pummel each other. It's great, great fun. But the worst that my brother ever hurt me, I mean, I'm talking about the worst thing that jerk ever did to me his entire life. I don't remember exactly what we were doing. I think it was some kind of basketball thing. And it was with my uncle. So my brother's behind me. My uncle's in front of me. And we're doing this whole... Okay, this is going to be weird if you don't know basketball, but just deal with it, okay? You're doing the whole defense thing. You're getting down, and you're like this. And so me and my brother are both doing it and doing the whole, yeah, whatever. I don't know why, but we're going to be better at basketball. So I get down like this. My brother's behind me. We've been doing this. I don't suspect anything. I don't think that I'm about to be attacked. I feel really great. Everything feels really good. I'm becoming a better basketball player or ninja, whatever it is we were doing that day. I don't know why I would do this as a ninja, but for some reason, I was doing Danielson, and I don't know why he did that. But I'm doing something like that. It was probably Karate Kid. And so I'm like this, and my brother's behind me, and I don't know, I know what was going on in his head. He's like, this would be hilarious. He's right there. I'm right here. I can kick really hard. He'd never see it coming, which he did. He proceeded. I'm like this. Boom! I didn't even see it coming, dude. I didn't see it coming. All I know is he hit hard, and my response was this. Ugh! Bleh! Like, I threw up. Like, it was, I don't know. That, by the way, that's not fun. If you get hit so hard you puke, it's way off sides. Dude, he hit me so hard, I threw up, I fell down, and I just laid there. I just laid. Like, now to be honest, that hit is gonna hurt no matter what happens, but if you don't have any kind of time to flinch at all or even see it coming, it's a million times worse. Guys, you understand what I'm saying? That's really bad. Okay, so it's one of those things that when you get ambushed like that and you don't see it coming, it's just worse. It's more devastating. I just want you to know, that's what's happening to us around here. I think that we're totally fooled to think that you're not in a war. And that's why we don't pray. You don't feel the desperate need for any help. That's why we pray like that, right? Would y'all think that's right or not?
Right.
Yes. Yes, that's what I'm... It's right. Yeah. It's true. I'm just telling you guys, like, there's an enemy around you and you need help to fight him. You can't beat him on your own. That's why God gave you prayer, because you call him. He helps you. He's strong. He sends help. He gives you what you need to win. It's not you doing it by yourself. It's you doing it in dependence on him, and you need him to help you. Now, here's the thing. I can tell you all that, but it might not change the way you pray. I just kind of want to share with you, I remember the first time I really prayed. I remember it plain as day. Here's the shift that happened to me. I was working at a camp. I had some kids in my cabin that were just, they were a nightmare. I don't know how else to say it besides that. I had these kids that, I had one kid who, found out later he was supposed to be on Ritalin, but he thought it was funny not to take it, so he just never told anyone. Thursday, I don't know why, the camp nurse is like, hey, I haven't seen this camper all week long, and he's supposed to be taking his Ritalin. I'm like, you waited till now. I'm 4 weeks into the worst week, 4 days into the worst week of my life, and you're just now wondering where the Ritalin kid is? Like, let me tell you where he is. He's everywhere. he is just like little Tasmanian devil running around. He was cursing up a storm at people. He was punching kids. The funniest thing I ever saw, this is just downright hilarious. I caught him. Sorry, I can still picture it in my head. He was just such a nightmare. I caught this kid. our cabin doors had just regular doors. You know how padlocks have like that little metal clip that goes over and you just put the padlock through that little hole? Well, one of my counselor friends, everyone was gone. I had to go up to my cabin because I couldn't find this kid. I didn't know where he was at. He's standing at this door. And what he had done is my counselor friend had gone into the cabin. He closed the door, stuck a stick in it, and was just standing there watching. I'm sorry. I can still picture it. The counselor was locked in his cabin. He couldn't get out. And he was using... Have you seen those long lollipop, like the long twisty ones? He took it out of a kid's bag and he was trying to, like, I just saw this little stick trying to knock that thing out. He'd been locked in there for 20 minutes. And my camper is just sitting there watching, like a fourth grader, like, this is the best thing ever. And so, anyways, I let him out, got under the kid. I was having a horrible week. And to make it worse, I had like 4 unsaved kids in my cabin. They were hearing the gospel. They wanted nothing to do with it. And I'll never forget one morning I got up before them and I just went out front and I was like, I don't know what else to do. I mean, these kids, I've explained the gospel to them. They laugh at it. This kid's cursing and fighting everyone. It doesn't matter what I do right now. He wants nothing to do with it. And I have some that are just pretending to be good, but they really don't know the gospel either. And so we're in this horrible, I'm in this horrible thing. I'm desperate. I feel like I'm missing this chance to share the gospel with these kids. And so I just sit on that porch and I just remember that here's what I did. I'd been going through my prayer thing like, oh, holy God, like, be with Jimmy, be with Johnny, be with, like, helping you get the gospel. And it just, I'm not saying God didn't hear that. I'm just saying there wasn't any desperation in it. But at this moment, I needed help. I mean, this kid needed to get the gospel and I couldn't do it. And I remember I sat on that little step. I'll never forget this. It's funny that I sat on a little step and I closed my eyes so I could focus. And here's what I remember picturing. I just remember trying to picture I'm actually talking to God. Like, and I just had to get that in my head. I'm talking to the creator of the universe. Like, he died on the cross for this kid. He cares about this kid. I'm talking to him right now. And I'm just going to trust that he's really listening and he's really here with me. And then I just talked to him. I was like, God, I suck at this, and I need some help. And this kid needs you. Like, do something. I don't even know what you, just help me to figure out what to do. Just do something. And here's the deal. I got up from that, and it was distinctly different than anything else I had ever experienced up to that point. Because for that moment, I felt like I really talked to God. Do you know, understand what I'm saying? It wasn't just routine for those 5 to 10 minutes. It was for real. Like, I was like, I'm really talking to him and I really need his help. And I'm convinced that he really listened. That was not boring to me. It was addicting. I was like, man, I don't know what's going to happen to this kid, but I want some of that all the time. Like, that's what I want. That's what, I understand why Paul went crazy about prayer, because when you get that, you want it all the time. And can I just tell you, I feel like God answered that, because for the next couple days, I was just praying, like, God, I don't know how to present the gospel to the kid. The kid didn't get saved, but can I just tell you the way that God kind of just worked in that was really kind of cool. What he did was, this kid kept getting in trouble, and so I didn't know what else to do, so his punishment was always, you gotta do push-ups. That's what I've been doing all week long. 5 push-ups every time you curse. Now the kid couldn't really do 2 push-ups. It was actually really pitiful. Like, he would do the whole like this, and he would, you didn't need to see that. That's what he would do. I was like, man, this is horrible. But, so he's doing push-ups left and right. So finally, on that morning, I just felt like at that moment, God said, just don't make him do push-ups. Just tell him, you know what? We'll do all your push-ups at the end of the day. And so, remember, this kid couldn't do 5, but it was 5 for everything he did. So at the end of the day, we were having kind of the quiet, our Devo time, and he was like, I got to do my push-ups. I'm like, all right, how many times did you curse today? How many times did you hit someone today? How many times did you lock counselors in their cabins today? Like the whole... So we were at... He was doing good. He only had 50. Which is good for a day. I mean, only a couple curse words. You know, that's not too bad. And so I was like, all right, you got to do 50 push-ups. And literally everything in him just said, I can't. I can't do 5. I'm like, no, you owe me 50, and you got to give me all 50. And the kid's like, I can't do it. I'm like, all right, I'll do 50 for you. And he's like, well, how about I do 5 and you do 45? I'm like, nope. You do 1, you do all. Either I do all of them or you do all of them. Those are your only 2 options. And so, and look, this has never worked before, but that moment I made him sit on the floor right in front of me, and for every push-up I went down and came back up and said, I can't believe I did 50, which is really shocking, but I was like, that's 1 because you cursed. 2 for what you did. And that's how I did all 50 push-ups. And here's the thing that was crazy. He didn't get saved that week, but every kid in the cabin for the first time actually understood the gospel in that moment. Because what those kids all started saying is, don't you understand what's happening right now? He's doing for you what Jesus did for all of us on the cross. It was crazy to hear 5th graders say that, but it was awesome. And you know why that happened? It wasn't because I had a really good idea about push-ups. That happened because God heard my prayer and he did something about it. It wasn't lightning from heaven. At that moment, he just kind of showed me what to do. That felt like walkie-talkie in wartime. That's what I think prayer could be like for you guys. So I just kind of want to challenge y'all. Tonight, sometime tonight, I don't care when, you and God, you get alone. It doesn't have to be for 20 minutes. It could be for 1 minute. I don't care. But I want you to actually try talking to God. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to actually remember who you're talking to. I want you to sit there and just go, who is this? I'm talking to God. I'm talking to the Creator. I want that in your head. Not make-believe, but for real grasping this. This isn't routine. I'm really trying to talk to God. And then I just want you to talk to Him. That's it. That's not complicated. That's not rocket science. I want you to talk to Him. I want you to try that tonight, sometime. You actually try praying to God. Because I want you guys to know, you're in war. And your only hope, for all that armor that you saw there, your only hope is that God shows up and helps you, or you're dead. So, guys, you need to pray. You need it. I need it. Everyone here needs it. So if you're in war, use that walkie-talkie. So tonight, sometime, you take some time to pray with God. And either just pray with Him, remember who He is, and just talk to Him. I'm going to say that a couple more times. I want you to remember who He is and just talk to Him. Remember who He is and just talk to Him. Nothing fancy. But both of those things are important. You're really talking to God and you're just talking. He doesn't need fancy words. He doesn't need thee and thou. Just talk to Him. So that's kind of what I would love for you guys to do. I'm going to close in prayer, which is always awkward after you've talked about prayer, just so you know. But I'm going to do it anyways, and then I guess y'all go to fire stations after this. So let me pray. God, as we just come to you, we just say, God, we get tricked. We miss the fact that we're in war. And God, would you help me to realize that I'm in war? Help help each one of these students. God, will you help them to realize that they're in war? And God, I'm just asking that you do the strong work in their heart. And God, when they show up to talk to you tonight, God, would you actually meet them there? And not just in a way, just in a way they really feel it. God, I'm just asking that you would show up tonight. It'd be awesome. I think it'd be good for them. I think that you will show up. So I'm just praying that you would do a work in their heart. And God, I'm just praying that these students would be students that grow up to love you and love following after you and actually really, really pray. God, protect them from the enemy that's trying to destroy them wherever they're at their homes, at their school. God, just be with them. And I pray they would be passionate, passionate. God, stir them up to really want to just fight hard and lean completely on you. So God, just help them. Just pray that all in Jesus' name. Amen.